Hello and welcome to the Service-Based Business Society podcast. I am your host, Tiffany Ann Botcher. On our weekly episodes, we will dig into everything you need to know about scaling your service-based business without losing sleep. With my experience in creating over seven figures per month and a passion for marketing, finance, and automation, this show will provide tangible tips and techniques for scaling your business. Let's get started. Hey guys, today we are talking to Chrissy Mellinger. She's a certified coach and a perpetual student of life. Following a furlough from the hospitality industry in 2020, she took the opportunity to redesign her own life and follow her true calling. She's always learning something new with the goal of better serving her clients and the world. Chrissy holds dual Bachelor of Science degrees in finance and economics, as well as she has her MBA. She's currently working on her NLP certification. It is this dedication to personal development that she combines with a life's mission of lifting others up to serve her clients in creating sustainable service-based businesses that light up their souls. I cannot wait to have Chrissy on the show. So welcome, Chrissy.
Oh, good morning, Chrissy. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Welcome to the Service-Based Business Society podcast. I am so excited to have you here. Right from the time that we initially connected online and I was reading through your information, I was like, I know that Chrissy has all sorts of information and we need to get her on this podcast.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I really appreciate that.
Okay, so let's first dive in a little bit to who you are, what you do, and kind of your unique offer to the world.
Sure. That's like the elevator question that never goes away of tell me more about yourself, that you're never...
The hardest question. Is it not the hardest question?
It's the hardest, and like, I've always tried to have something that's like clear and succinct, and I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So hi, I'm Chrissy Mellinger. I am by title a strategic business coach for female service-based entrepreneurs. But in reality, I like to call myself a business activator. So one of my special powers is helping other women in particular see the potential and the possibilities that are out there and get really comfortable being uncomfortable and being like, hey, I'm going to do things different. And whether that's...
I love
right?
This.
Like whether it's
I love
however it.
It
looks like for you, we're going to rebuild it the way that you want your life to look like. So that's what I do. I help them create businesses that feel really aligned and supportive to their life goals. We don't work for the sake of working. We work to support the kind of lifestyle that we have or that we're building up to. And I kind of made it here from the pandemic we were talking about before you hit record, because I worked in hospitality before this for 6 years and hospitality was decimated. So it was like that universal kicking of, hey, you weren't really happy. So like, let's go do the thing that you want to do. So that's real quick kind of how I got here.
Activator. What a powerful word. I really like that.
I'm not very good at like, I can help other people think outside the box, but as far as like naming things for myself, I hate it. So I was kicking things around with a friend one day and she's like, well, you know, you're like this fiery, like you inject people with this confidence and like, you're like an activator. You're like a spark plug. And I was like, well, I don't like spark plug, but I like the activator piece.
Yes. You know, it's when you come across these words that just kind of capture things. It was one of my things when I started my own business, people would say, what do you do? And it's like this odd pause because it's like, of course, you know what you do, but making it relevant to them and trying to explain something in a way that conveys the value and the benefit to them and their business can be really challenging.
Especially when you're like, well, I do all of this. Mm-hmm. So like, how do I give that to you in a way that you're not going to space out halfway through my sentence?
Or just be like, whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, it's when I started my business, I had done nothing in the sales space. Total introvert, you know, happy. I always joke, you can just leave me in the basement with a computer. I'm good. And so one of the pieces I really had to jump into and was like, I need to learn as much as I can about this. And as much as this can be a learned skill, I have to just I have to jump in. And so I started spending time basically hanging out with as many marketers as I could find.
I love it.
And, you know, they would say, okay, well, we start talking about offers. And it's, you know, okay, well, how much money do you make, people? I need a number. And I said, well, that's really tough. Like, it's, you know, and the marketers are often willing to just throw a number at it. What's about this? But my black and white brain is like, well, but there's so many possibilities yes. and variations there. And it could be this or it could be that. And so, you know, they could come up with some really sexy terminology mm-hmm. and make things just sound, you know, like, why would you
right.
not? And business activator, I would say, is the first time I've really heard something in terms of like the coaching that I was like, yes, yes, girl.
I'm glad. Thank you. I'm going to keep that nugget.
You're like writing that down.
Be like, hey, Steph, you did a really great job.
Yes, yes. You owe your friend a coffee. So when you are working with businesses and we're looking at kind of different phases of business, we've got like the, you know, the people who are starting out and they're in that idea phase versus businesses that are in that more maintaining phase growth. How do you take a different approach based on, you know, the different phases of the business?
Oh, I like this one. Okay. So I think more so than the phase of the business, it's about the phase of the person. So I've worked with several entrepreneurs that are 5, 6, 7 years in business, but it's small. Like they still haven't figured out how to scale because they're still of the mindset of I have to do it all. So the business might be bringing in quite a bit of money, but there's still that cap of it. So I like to go in at it of, okay, where are you personally? Because even if you look, even if you like take the mindset stuff off for a second and think strictly strategic, there is still that component of like, how much are you willing to delegate? How much are you willing to hire someone in to help you? What does your comfort level with scaling look like? And what does scaling even mean to you? So if you're brand new in the business, it's going to be a lot of the foundational work, right? Like, do you need a website? Do you need a registration? Get a tax account and things like that, where it's like you have a checklist and you can kind of work through it a lot more quickly. Whereas when you get to that point where you like have clients and you make money and you start to do things, and then you're like, okay, cool. I know how to be in my business, but I don't know how to work on the business and take it to the step of actually like stepping outside of the coach mentality or the healer, whatever your title is, and look at it of, oh my gosh, I'm a CEO. Oh my gosh, I'm a CEO. And like, how do you do that? It's a whole different ballgame.
The number of business owners and entrepreneurs that don't want to be called the CEO, I'm not there mm-hmm. yet. It's like, okay, well, someone is the CEO of your business. So if that's not you, we probably
right?
need to look
like,
at
there's
that.
There's an issue.
It's this, you know, no one else is coming to help you with that piece. Being the visionary of your business, I mean, you can hire coaches and consultants and whatnot, but the heart and the deep-rooted passion and the vision, that comes from, realistically, most times, the founder, the CEO, the visionary. And so when people really shy away from, you know, oh, I'm not there yet, I really encourage people to lean into that versus shy away from
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be that you're leaning into it and you're making, you know, detailed 5-year plans. It's just I do, because that's the way my brain works. I have like a detailed out plan, but it's just the general idea of where do you want to go? Is this something, I like to call them legacy building empires. Are you building something that's going to be with you for the next 40 years? Or is that not your goal? Is your goal to get you to like, I don't know, the next house or the next whatever milestone that looks like until your kids graduate or things like that? You still have to have a plan and a vision of like, what's the end goal here? And it gets to be whatever you want it to be, but it has to be something.
Yes. And I often refer back to what is the objective? Because just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I think that with the shifts in technology and just the availability of information. You know, you can go on YouTube and learn just about anything from just about anyone. And then, you know, you get this. It's like, hey, I saw this online. Can we do this? It's like, yes, we can. But what is the objective? Why are we going to do this? And, you know, not every single business needs every single piece. And, you know, I was recently on a webinar and I was chatting and we were talking about different social media platforms. And someone said, you know, people keep talking about Twitter. And, you know, like Twitter was something from such a long time ago. And now all of a sudden I keep hearing about Twitter again. Like, is Twitter
a thing?
Back. Is Twitter a thing now? And I said, it really depends on your audience. And I said, okay. So just out of curiosity, you know, there was like 73 people there. And it's like, okay, how many of you are on Twitter? No one. I said, okay, so I don't need to be on Twitter. My ideal audience isn't there. And so really deciding, you know, the objective there, if the objective is to continue to grow with your ideal audience, well, Twitter might not be the spot that I need to do that. Now, if I want to hit a new audience, if my objective is to reach an entirely different audience, well, then maybe we do need to look at Twitter because those would be different people than those who are finding me now.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And I like the way that you said that it's going back to the objective. Like, there's a lot of talk of Instagram Reels, same kind of thing of, do I need to be on there? Sure, if you want to, but like, what's the point of it? What is your intention behind doing this? And I think it's that bringing it back to the objective piece that we all struggle with sometimes because we're like, oh, it's new and it's shiny and I want to do that. And it would be a lot more fun than like this stuff that I have to do. I wish that the people listening could see me because I like do a lot of hand gestures. but
Reels and Instagram for me and, you know, those who are frequent podcast listeners will know that I harp on Instagram a little bit, but depending on your objective, Instagram can either really serve your purpose or can be a total time suck. Because if you are a business that serves people in your community, you need to go to their house. If you are a cleaning company, having followers across the continent, no matter how many followers they are and how much they love you, they're not going to be purchasing from your business unless they move.
It does not matter.
It does not matter. And so you get people, entrepreneurs, you know, I talk to entrepreneurs frequently who are like, I spend so much time generating social media content. I feel like I'm like part influencer. I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to be like taking all these videos and pictures and like, you know, it's like, I just want to run my business. And it really comes back to, you know, what is the objective and do you need to be in these places? What are each of the platforms doing for you? You know, it's because each of them does something different and does that support the bigger goal?
I 100% agree with you. And that applies not just to the platforms that we're in or the types of content that we're creating, but just the small things that we're doing every day. Like, do you need to send out an email 3 times a week? What is the purpose? There should be an intention behind every single thing that you're putting out in front of your customers, whether it's a cleaning company with a new brochure or a new flyer, if it's an online tarot reader, like, what is that piece of content? What is the purpose behind it? Because if you're just throwing stuff to stick at the wall to see if it works, most of it is not going to work for you. Like, you have to have a reason for it.
I think the other piece that gets a bit discouraging is when you don't necessarily have that plan and you are kind of just throwing things at the wall, you know, when something doesn't stick, you're kind of like, oh, that didn't work. And then you throw something else. But again, they're kind of almost these like half-baked, half-finished things. And instead of going all in on, you know, taking an idea, start to finish, figuring out what's working and what's not, it's like you take the energy, develop it, really stick yourself out there. Every time an entrepreneur puts themselves into a product or a service, they stick themselves out there. And when someone, it's not well received, it's a little bit of a hit to the confidence.
Sure.
And we all want to say it's not, but absolutely, it is. And so, you know, if you're not, then if you're like, oh, well, that didn't work, next. You know, you're not actually finishing the first thing. And it could have become an amazing success. but you didn't follow, there was no follow through. And so you're constantly in this cycle of, you know, depleting your energy and confidence and realistically not making huge strides.
There's the concept of failing fast. And I think like this is something I went to business school. This is something that we were like shoved down our throats and just work through iteration after iteration. And for some industries, that works really well, right? Like iPads or apps or things like that. It works really well to just run through iterations. But if you're, especially for service-based businesses, it's really hard to do that in a way that, like you said, you're actually giving the concept or the strategy time to bloom. Like you have to put your energy in it and you have to have a strategy, even if your strategy is just like, well, crud, we're going to see if this works. But then you have to stick with it because not only are you just running out of strategies because they're not limitless, right? Like there are only so many strategies to run, but you're draining your energy. You're draining your own like enthusiasm for what you do. And you're really confusing the people who are already following you or listening to you or customers of you. Like you have to be consistent for at least a couple of weeks to see if an idea actually has value to it.
Yes, agreed 100%. So question then, when someone is in this cycle of, you know, trying things and, you know, skipping to the next idea, how long, in your opinion, should someone, you know, at what point, because the other, on the flip side is, you know, at what point do you say this isn't working and it's time to try something else?
I like don't have a hard number for you because I think it depends on what it is you're trying to do. So we know that there are different timelines. So if you're trying to grow your company or you're trying to grow like your follower account, let's stick with social media for a second. If you're trying to grow your following account and it's not working and it's been 2 weeks and the content that you're doing is not landing, there's no engagement, you can probably cut and run, right? You can probably tweak it. And let me correct that. Don't cut and run and go to like reels when you were doing static posts. But tweak it, starts to make adjustments in the messaging that you have. However, when it gets to converting into dollar sales, that's going to take more time. People are much more flexible with giving you their attention when it's a scroll that they can go through and like technically still be a follower, but not actually be listening to you versus, oh, you want me to pay you money now. So anything that you're trying to convert into an actual sale, whether it's a new masterclass that you're putting out or a new freebie, downloadable guide or training, things like that, I'd say give it a solid month, but not a month of you doing the same exact thing day after day, a solid month of you looking at the analytics. How are people engaging? Are they going to the site? Get Google Analytics. It's free. Take the trainings on how to read it because it's not super user-friendly at first. But really look at the data of where are they stopping on your website? Where are they getting to? Are they clicking, but they're not downloading it? Are they reading the first email or not? And then play with it. You know, give it a week. Adjust the wording. Adjust the intonation of your speaking or whatever it is. Make small changes along the way. Like we're still having iterations, but give it a solid month if you're asking people for money. Like we're much more apt to give you our time than our money.
Yes. Minor course yes. corrections versus completely restarting. And, you know, it's actually incredible when you use the data to say and to see what minor changes can create big impact. I think right away we all assume it's like, this mm-hmm. is not working. And it's like, okay, well, hang on just a minute. What parts of this aren't working? If you have a multi-step process, if we're going from person does not know you, cold audience, completely cold audience, and person needs to have, you know, whether you're an online service provider and they need to have paid you and be a part of your client list, or if you're a local service-based business and you need these people now, perhaps, you know, back to the original example of like cleaning your home, if you need these people in your home, there's a number of steps and micro commitments that come along between person does not know your business, potential customer, to these people are now in your home. So many little steps, and each of those can have minor adjustments versus, hey, this whole thing isn't working and let's throw it out and start
over. And I think that goes back to what we were talking to at the beginning of not wanting to step into the role of being a CEO and just saying like, oh, I'm just a house cleaner, or I'm just a coach, or I'm just a, you know, like a personal trainer. Whether it's you or you run a 100-person business, you still have to look at the analytics side of it. It's not enough to just like have the idea and go with it and be like, I'm really good at this part of it. You have to look at the data. You have to break it down into those bites where you're like, this is not fun, but I have to do it because I'm still the owner of this business, right? It's still my name on the registration. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people miss of really taking the like minute steps and being like, oh, let's change the subject line of the email. More people are engaged with questions than like a happy April 1st.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. You said the big scary A word, and it's right up there with CEOs and people shying away from it. And that's the analytics. As soon as you say data and analytics, you can honestly see people go, oh, no, nope, I don't do that part.
Yes.
No, I don't know what it means. I don't look at it. And it's one of these pieces, you know, I shared a social post a long time ago, and it was, you know, it's like when you go to a fancy restaurant and they call it, you know, a potato puree and you're like, it's mashed potatoes.
Yes.
And you're like, okay. And I shared one recently and it was, you know, like a nut something spread with a jelly compote on like blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, it's like this, the people go to analytics and they're like, oh, I don't know anything about this. I didn't go to business school. And it's like, okay, but let's actually break this down and say, okay, so you had 50 people click on whatever it is, whether it's your Google My Business profile, your Facebook, you know, they clicked on your post, your ad. Doesn't really matter. If you had 50 people and then they got to the first page on your website and two people took the next step, you don't need any kind of statistics or any kind of fancy analytics. Realistically, you just need to know there is something wrong with that first page on the website. Something is not working. Something is not, you know, registering. People are seeing that page and going, no. So the first step is working. People are like, yes, this is for me. And then the second step that people get to and they're like, whoa, never mind, leaving. And so it's not as scary as, you know, the word analytics, data. You know, you see the same thing when you say SEO. It's these business terms that cause people to shy away from right away saying, hey, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, let's just actually get down to basic. Forget the fact that it's called analytics. You know, realistically, if you had 50 people walk into your store, if you had a brick and mortar store and you had 50 people walk in the door and only two people purchase, you would know right away that there was something wrong with what was happening in the store. And so trying to strip away some of the complexities and the scary of some of these pieces, and just what is the data telling us? What do these numbers tell? What is the story here?
I like that. And I think there's so much stock that we give to certain words where, like you said, they just kind of like, you can see the eyes start to glaze over. You're like, oh, I don't know what SEO is. But just what's the story? What's the puzzle? What's the disconnection? There's not something, I work a lot with like the mindset. So the certain words, like what's the problem or what's wrong? Just reframe it. Like what's the missing piece, or what needs to be adjusted so that the puzzle piece like actually fits in fully? Because maybe it just needs to be shifted a little bit. And it's destigmatizing the like quote unquote business words and making it just like, okay, we're going to try something. We're going to figure out where the disconnect is. And it doesn't mean that there's something quote unquote wrong, because that leads into like a whole nother tirade I'm not going to go down. But it's just this opportunity for us to be kinder to ourselves and also empower ourselves to say like, hey, I can get this. Like, I can figure this out. I may not know the terminology. I may not know to this day, like I will call myself out. I can't tell you everything that's on the Google Analytics sheet. I went through YouTube and Google video trainings to understand it step by step. But it's just going at it with the attitude of like, I can figure this out. Or I can help get someone to help me figure this out.
Yes, I think it comes back, you know, for a long time in terms of success in business and those who I have seen the most success. It's the ability to be resourceful and gritty and not knowing that, that things is okay if you're willing to try and figure it out, make an attempt, or, you know, work with someone who does have the answer. You know, asking questions, not, you know, it comes back to that original thing of you saying, hey, you know, are you willing to delegate? Are you willing to, you know, not have to do it all yourself? It's tough because I think, you know, we as, especially on the women, we feel like we have almost a point to prove that we can do it. I know for myself anyway. And a lot of my clients, it's like, hey, no, I can do this. And at times we absolutely need to do that. And we need to prove to ourselves more than anyone else that we can do it. But there are times where trying to dive in to absolutely everything just makes it so that there's just not enough to go around. And the success of so many things is suffering because you're a little like halfway in on so many things. And so to those who have that, you know, back to that analogy of new thing, shiny thing, how do you help people stay focused, stay on the course of what they're already working on?
So I'm a big fan of post-it notes. And I'm not going to say I make all my clients. I encourage all my clients quite forcefully that their non-negotiables have to fit on a post-it note. So the things that absolutely need to get done every week or every day that need to be done by you cannot be more than a post-it note. So as the new stuff comes on of like, oh, there's this new project or, oh, there's this new thing, you have to take something off. You can have a get-to-do list that's a mile long. That's fine. But the things that are non-negotiable have to fit on a post-it note. And it has to be somewhere like mine. I literally just grabbed mine because it's on the top of my calendar under my computer. It has to be somewhere that you can't miss it, whether that's your phone. I've got one woman who puts it in her bathroom because she's in her bathroom a lot. But it has to be somewhere that it triggers you every day to be like, okay, I gotta get a post out today, or I gotta do this today. But like, the more that you can kind of put the blinders on to the things that you are the only person who can do this. And yes, I have the time to do this and I do have the energy to do this, but something has to go then. And that has been something that gets a lot of resistance, myself included some days, but it has to be done because otherwise there's too much and we start to not only get burned out, but we start to get overwhelmed and like unexcited about business because then we're a squirrel and we don't know where to go and there's too much going on. But if you can put it down into a post-it note and you're like, whew, all right, I have three things on mine. These are literally the three things I need to do. Everything else is gravy. That helps a lot.
So sticky note is my trigger word. No, I'm anti-sticky note. But I'm like, oh, sticky note. I don't know if I follow this. But I remained open-minded until and was like, okay, so we're using the size of the sticky note to frame the fact that we're not taking on too many things. I did have a moment that we just talked about with the analytics where I was like, whoa, she said sticky note. I don't know about this.
Thank you for staying
open. I stayed open-minded. I'm sticking it through. I actually just bought a whole bunch of sticky notes to for some content I was creating because it is so common. I find it's the sticky notes. And I don't buy them. When I was in corporate, my department didn't use them. I was like, no, we are not sticky notes. Because people put them everywhere. It's like, you know, which sticky note is more important? Is it the orange sticky note or the pink sticky note? Is it, you know, based importance based on like where they are on the screen or yes. the desk? It's very unclear. And so often when I start working with people, they're like, oh my gosh, look at my desk. And they send me this picture and it's like sticky note everywhere. And I can't focus with that many neon squares everywhere. So, you know, it's funny that you say it because I they're right here, actually. They're, you know, I just bought these cute orange ones because they go with our agency branding. And I was like, yes. I was like, I'm going to make some reels out of these.
Yes, it's all about the size. You can use whatever you'd like.
Got it.
But it's about the size of the list, not so much like, I like to have a clean workspace.
Yes. Yes, totally. When I was in corporate, my controller, she liked to put them, the really important ones had to be right on the screen, like in the middle of the screen. They crept up off the desk onto the side of the screen. And then as they gained importance, it was like they moved onto the screen. And I can't.
I think my brain would explode at that point. Like, I don't even like when I have a touch screen laptop. I don't even like when I can see the fingerprints on it. No.
Mm-mm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally.
That's tough.
I do understand framing the size of them. Because you know what we all, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to the buffet and your eyes are a little bit bigger than your stomach. It's the same thing with the non-negotiables. At the end of the day, there is still only so much time and so much energy. And you can only pour yourself into so many things at the same time. And so many entrepreneurs and, you know, people are juggling home responsibilities, health responsibilities, you know, and the commitments to yourself and whatnot are always the first to, they're the easiest ones to say, I'll get to that tomorrow.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? It's about almost being ruthless. And we talk a lot about boundaries, right? We're setting boundaries with our clients or our coworkers or our families or our friends. Your non-negotiables are a boundary with yourself. Because once you start to go down that road of like, well, I can do this and I can do that, it's a lot harder to come back from it because it is the slippery slope. Like you have to try and put that boundary back in place. So if you can make it really visible, and I highly encourage you if you have like an accountability partner or, you know, a spouse or someone who can like really actually hold you accountable, tell them what your non-negotiables are. And ask them to help you, check in with you once a day or once a week, or, you know, depending on what your thing is, because that's a boundary. And if you start looking at your non-negotiables as another boundary, you're like, oh, okay. Like it just helps to reframe it in a way that it helps you keep your energy more intact.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Christy, I want to say thank you so much. This has been a great chat, super fun, and I think so informative on a number of different pieces and mindset, talking about, you know, building businesses and this concept of, you know, your non-negotiables being your boundary with yourself is truly profound. And I think that this is part of the struggle. There's so many people that are struggling with boundaries for any real piece. And, you know, when we start to look at the boundaries with ourselves, that is truly part of the mindset shift and shifting into this powerful, confident CEO that is making the decisions, using the data, using all of the, you know, the true objective of the business, not vanity metrics, and deciding what success looks like.
Yeah, and I like how you said the vanity metrics, because it's not about the followers. It's not about the number on your email list. It's about, for me, and I'm going to say for all of us listening to service-based business, is it's about the impact that we're making. So the other stuff is fluff or gravy. It's about how can we make the biggest impact in the world while being really true to ourselves and what we want, and to have the life that we want to have and be the version of ourselves that we want to be along the way.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to chat with me. And if people want to connect with you, where can they do so?
My biggest platform is Instagram, because I like the energy that's there. But I do totally understand that it works for some people. But they can find me on Instagram at Chrissy Mellinger, all one word, or they can follow me or my website at www.chrissymellinger.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. This was such a fun conversation. I really appreciate chatting with you today.
Well, we are all out of time for today. If you guys have not joined the Service-Based Business Society Facebook community, make sure you head on over to Facebook and we can continue the conversation. Be sure to also follow the show by going to any podcast app and searching Service-Based Business Society, click subscribe, click the 5th star, and leave us a written review. Have a great week, and we will see you soon.